And hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 118, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. And we're a proud member of the Comics Podcasts Network. Go check us out over there at comicspodcast.com, as well as over on our own website, which, of course, is radiofreeasgard.com. I hope that everybody had a happy and safe Labor Day weekend. Yes, we had a long weekend here in the States. I don't think they celebrate Labor Day in any other countries. But if they do, then hopefully you all had a good three-day weekend as well. Speaking of labor, this show almost didn't happen this week, folks. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I'm going to be working a lot of extra hours at work for the next couple of weeks. Something going down there that it was unexpected, and they need me to work as many hours as I can. So unfortunately, that does mean that my time to do and edit shows may be restricted sometime over the next couple of weeks. Hoping to bash this show out in one night so that, you know, this week won't be affected. I would love to catch up on the Thor God of Thunder series so that we can get done with everything in time for Thor 2, which comes out, of, as you know, in November. And it looks like I do kind of have a very full production schedule on the show right up until the release of the movie. And hopefully at that point we'll be caught up with Thor God of Thunder. We can only hope. It seems to be going on forever and ever. So anyway, speaking of which, it is time for our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
So this week we are, of course, looking at Thor God of Thunder number 9. Has a cover date. Well, they don't really do cover dates anymore, do they? It's all this fancy Marvel Now shit. It's an August 2013 release date here. Retailed for $3.99. This is part 3 of the God Bomb Saga. Cover art is by Esad Rebic. Shows the three Thors. Of course, we have Old Man Thor, a.k.a. King Thor. We have Thor the Avenger, a.k.a. Present Day Thor. And we have Viking Age Thor, a.k.a. Young Thor. And we have the elder of the two Thors standing up on the cover holding their Mjolnirs aloft and lightning shooting down. And we have the young Thor with his axe kind of crouching down in front of them on the ground facing the viewer. Pretty cool cover here by Esad Rebic. We open up to the splash. The splash is the same as we had last time. We had pretty much the same recap and so forth. If you want to recap, just go back and listen to last couple of episodes. We have the title of the story, God Bomb, part 3 of 5, Thunder in the Blood. Jason Aaron was the writer of this. Esad Rebic was the artist. Eve Sforzina was the colorist. VCs, Joe Serino was the letterer. Jake Thomas was the assistant editor. Lauren Sankovich was the editor. Axel Alonso was the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada was the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And Alan Fine was the executive producer. All right. So we open up to the splash page where we open up in Gore's bedroom, for lack of a better. I mean, that's basically what it is. And we see Gore kind of striding in and is all covered in his black robes or shadows or whatever the hell they're supposed to be. And there's a female alien figure laying in the bed. And it's a female looking much like Gore, is obviously one of his race. And he wanders in and she kind of wakes up and like,
Gore, watching me sleep again? Come to bed, dear. I promise you a better view.
Soon. I'm sorry I woke you.
Is everything all right? I heard an explosion earlier and what sounded like thunder.
Gods being gods, nothing to worry about. Everything progresses as planned.
Your bomb? It's almost finished then?
Almost, yes.
And once it is, once you finally killed all the gods, you'll be free then, won't you?
We all will.
I have dreamed of that day for such a very long time, my love. But tell me, why do we never speak of what comes after?
After? You know what comes after.
I'd like to hear you say it.
After the bomb, I will finally be ready to...
To what, my love? And please don't say die.
No. To live.
And there's the sound of thunder. And Gore's like,
go back to sleep, my love. And know that when next you wake...
Gore? Is that...
It will be a world transformed.
And we cut to the longship of the three Thors, which is still blasting across space in a big thundercloud with lightning shooting out of it. Very dramatic image, but something tells me it's not so easy to find thunderclouds in space. Just saying. Anyway, so we have, of course, the three Thors, and old man Thor's barking orders here. Follow my lead, the both of you, and try not to get us killed. That's our plan. Young Thor says, hit him with hammers until he breaks. That's my plan. Everything below us, the entire planet, it seems to be made from Gore's weapon. We should keep the fight in the air for as long as possible. You forget. The boy has no Mjolnir. He cannot fly. Do not worry about me, old man. I am the only Thor here who has beaten this bastard twice. You're also the only Thor who's been captured by him twice, says medium Thor. We can't afford to be rash and reckless here. We must. And then they see the approaching of a shadowy figure flying towards their ship. And it's Gore himself. And he says,
you should have brought more Thors.
And with that, the battle is on. Young Thor, being as rash as always, leaps overboard carrying a sledgehammer, which, you know, can't really do much for him staying in the air, I have to say.
Bah! Your old crones have forgotten what it means to be a god of the Vikings. Here, let me show you.
And he goes attacking. And old man Thor's like,
and you idiot children have yet to learn what it means to be a king, let alone a failed one. For the glory of Asgard!
And he goes over the edge as well, and leaves Thor the Avenger, who says, Mjolnir, my old friend, give me strength. We then have a beautiful double-page spread here by Isad Rebic of the Three Thors, barreling down towards Gore the God Butcher, flying down, or in the young Thor's case, more falling down. And they are being struck now by the shadow constructs of Gore's weapon, as they call it, or Thor's clothes, whatever it is. But anyway, we have the shadow demon things kind of whipping at them as they fall. And the caption says that, then struck Thor with the fury of a billion storms. That's a lot of storms, folks. Anyway, it's an absolutely beautiful double-page spread here. All the lots of lightning shooting around and shadow demons kind of whirling out from Gore's costume. It's a really, really nice piece of work here by Isad Rebic. I have no fault for the art in this issue, I have to say. So each of the Thors is tangling with a different one of these shadow beings, and we see them... attacking and throwing their hammers and splatting these things pretty easily, actually. And we get a little bit of exposition here. The sky exploded with lightning and black gore. Thunder echoed through the depths of space. Thunder and the pounding of hammers.
Thank you for this, thunder gods. It would have been such a shame to have ended all of divinity without one last chance to be a butcher.
And he's slashing at them with his shadow stuff. Present day Thor says, a cask of the finest ale to the god who stills that tongue.
I have waited 900 years for this moment to feel the thunder in my blood once again.
And do you?
Let us see.
Now, that comment is a little odd, because they've established that old man Thor has been, what, thousands of years in the future? So he's been waiting a whole lot longer than that, wouldn't you say? You know, anyway. So Anyway, you see that old man Thor's fist is kind of crackling with some kind of energy, and he points his fist out and releases this, what can only really be called an energy bolt or giant bolt of lightning or whatever, and it goes growloom, and it strikes Gore the God Butcher square on. And it says in the caption, moments later, light years away, Gore falls to the surface of a planetoid planet or whatever. And you can see he's kind of torn up and he really looks frightened here. And he's smoking. He doesn't look like he's having a lot of fun. Such was the awesome might of the All-Father Unleashed that for the first time in millennia, the Butcher of Gods knew fear. And we see the two Mjolnir'd Thors heading towards Gore at a very rapid speed. And striking this green planetoid with a crash. I wonder if this made a kryptonite, because it kind of almost looks like it. It's kind of glowing green. And they are, you know, kind of bashing these bits of rock. And you know, present-day Thor says, it would appear Gore is throwing chunks of moon at us. My Mjolnir finds that amusing. How about yours? Can't you hear it laughing? And the two of them are just batting aside all these boulders and, you know, whatever, just with great ease, apparently, with a scroom. And Gore seems to be in full panic mode. More power! I need more power! That means more blood! Kill the slaves! Massacre all the gods! And you see the various bits of him, the kind of the shadow dinosaur dog things, are just going around now and killing these gods. You would think that at least some of these gods would be not so easy to kill, but anyway, I guess he's been at it for a long time. And we get some exposition as we see these shadow beasts, and they're just kind of skewering every god they see or crushing them and so forth. And as they do, they're these kind of streamers of this black gook that make up Gore's shadow force, whatever, are streaming into space, because obviously the god blood is the source of his power. And we have a little bit of exposition going on here with the captions. The true history of Gore's weapon had been lost to time, though there were many different stories and legends. Some said it was a blade forged by the elder gods and used in the time of creation to carve existence from the unbreakable stone of nothingness. Others said it was the darkness of all gods given form, and that whoever wielded it was merely an empty vessel for its murderous will. There were stories that it had slain billions upon billions before Gore, that it had raged through worlds like a wildfire through dry stalks, that its power would continue to grow for all time until the day it finally blackened all of infinity. Perhaps on that day they will tell stories of this one, of the day when Gore's black world became ringed with blood, and the screaming of gods filled the cosmos entire. The day when the lords of all the heavens were slaughtered like lambs. And we see that Gore's, you know, just kind of throwing a big, huge rock at them. And present-day Thor actually is kind of sensing a disturbance in the force here. He's, I hear screaming from worlds away. Gods are dying. Gore is killing his slaves. He knows he's in trouble. And the god blood fuels his power. I will show the bastard blood. Let me. And just as it happens, they're swallowed up by this giant black serpent. So basically, they're swallowed up by Gore's cock because it's very phallic and very large. So you see the two Thors inside going. And Gore says, I feel them drowning. Feel the blackness flooding them. No Thor will survive this day. And there's a voice coming from off-panel. No Gore will either. Ha! Faster, you stupid shark! And we see that it's a young Thor, and he is riding towards Gore on a shark. Yeah, this kind of same kind of shark that he hit the other Thor with the last issue. I knew those glowing sharks would come in useful somehow. And I'm not sure what to make of this panel here. It looks like Gore is shooting the shark with something, but it also kind of looks like the shark is shooting lasers out of its nose.
Which would be epic. The space sharks would be shooting lasers out of their nose. Anyway, young Thor's like, no more chains. No more of your black berserkers. Just you and me now, Gore. And the hammer I'm going to kill you with. And he swings this big sledgehammer like a baseball bat and thwacks Gore away and plummets him right down to a different planet. So, I mean, obviously hitting him pretty damn hard. And a young Thor comes after him. He says, I'd tell you to go pray to your gods, but I know you don't have any. Though you may pray to me if you like. Although if you pray for a quick death, don't expect your prayer to be answered. We then cut back to where the two older Thors are trapped inside the serpents.
Serpents. Always another damn serpent.
We must be free of this mire. Gore must answer to the fury of our hammers.
Am I not the All-Father, boy? Am I not the way and the wrath and the wonder?
And he is pried open the mouth of the shadow serpent thing, and he's like, go! Leave the Lord of Asgard to deal with this worm.
And so we see Thor the Avenger, present-day Thor, and he whips himself away from this giant serpent and back towards where young Thor is. I guess he's heading towards Gore's planet. And the caption says, as Mjolnir flew, Thor strained to hold fast. Asteroid shattered in his wake. Stars flickered. He knew he must not stop, no matter what he saw, even if there were wounded, even if they were him. Present-day Thor happens upon Gore, and Gore has sprouted a few extra arms here. So he's got six arms and kind of racing towards Thor. And he says, come, I never get tired of killing Thors. And Thor kind of whacks him good with a hammer again and again. And he's been grabbed by Gore's shadow stuff, and the caption is saying here, with every swing of his mighty hammer, Thor felt his bones rattle, his fingers crack, his muscles tear. And yet he swung again, even harder than ever, and again and again. With every cut, he felt Gore's weapon creep inside him, burrowing deeper into his flesh. Broken blades became black maggots, eating him from the inside. Thor made his mind as hard as the uru of his hammer, and he thundered on. Thor ignored the pain, the roar of his own screams, the shattering of worlds around him. Thor focused only on the bludgeoning and ignored everything else. And we see present-day Thor's, you know, struggling with Gore, and they're kind of hurling through the cosmos. And out of the side of his peripheral vision, Thor picks up this planetoid where apparently young Thor was cast down. And Thor's like, no, that's no empty moon. It's a space station. No.
It's a trap.
So we cut to that empty moon or whatever it is, and we see a volcano erupting, or a volcano-like eruption, and Thor is hurling himself down at it, and you see lightning striking down and everything else, and not really sure exactly what's going on. That's one of the things about this art, as beautiful as it is, it's sometimes difficult to tell what exactly is going on. But I get the impression that Thor has kind of hurled himself down to close the fissure that was created by Gore to save the planet. So you do see Thor flying away, and there's these alien beings on this planet who are kind of bowing down to him. And the caption says, thus did the Norse god of thunder come to be worshipped on a scarred world in a distant corner of space. And he kind of whips himself back at Gore, and Gore is saying,
at last I understand you, little god. The old you, the king, he's always been fueled by regret. He thinks if he kills me, he can erase his own history of wretched failure. And the young one, the Viking god, he uses arrogance and rage to mask his crippling shame. But you, I could never quite figure out until now. You know I'm right. That's why you fight so hard. Why you try so desperately hard to seem noble. Because you see just how petty and useless your kind truly are. You know what I know. The gods have never created or cared for anything except themselves. The god who doubts. I change my mind. You're my favorite, Thor.
And we see that King Thor, Old Man Thor, has burst his way out of this giant worm thing at last. And we see that young Thor is leaping back into the fray along with Old Man Thor.
And we get a little bit more exposition here. In the great black emptiness of space, the mighty Thor reached out his hammer, and at last the black Leviathan fell. And Thor looked upon his work and knew that it was just the beginning. Thor the Father, the Lord of Asgard, Thor the King of Kings. Young Thor had a hammer in his hand and a Viking cry of battle upon his lips. Beneath the rage, he was smiling. Thor, the son of Odin, the prince of Asgard. Thor, the bloody redeemer. Thor, the avenger, fought with the spirit of a multitude. Thor, the holy hero, champion of the cosmos. Thor, the hammer of heaven. The three Thors, the greatest of all the gods. Or so the story goes, and the three of them have now assembled in front of Gorr. They have Gorr approaching the three Thors, and he's got a sort of glowing from behind him. I don't know if that's supposed to be a star. I guess it's supposed to be a star. And he's kind of hurling his way towards them. And Old Man Thor reaches out with his fist and fires his Thor power again with a hurrah-boom. And Gorr's like, ha! And the Old Man Thor is continuing. And young Thor is like, you mean to tell me that someday I will be able to do that? After them, into the sun, says present-day Thor. And the three of them kind of take hold of Gorr and start hurling down into a star with him in tow. It's really, really interesting. I mean, I would never have thought that Thors could survive hurling into a sun. And to me, this seems slightly unrealistic. Anyway, so we get a little bit of exposition here. Somewhere in the cosmos, star whales beached themselves on an asteroid and died. Hundreds of them, for seemingly no reason at all. A dog was born with the face of a child, screaming in terror. It did not live for long. A saintly woman died and found no one waiting for her on the other side. No white light to guide her. Nothing. The sacred waters of the Well of Mimir turned red and bitter. The world tree bled at the roots. In Asgard, the statues of the kings began weeping. And on a backwoods world, an alien boy looked up at the morning sky and saw the sun turn black. So I guess you could argue that they're being protected somewhat by Gorr's shadow force. I suppose you can make that. But we have the picture of this alien sun, which is starting to be taken over by all of this this goop. So we shift back to Gorr's planet, and we have dead bodies laying everywhere and all these piles of corpses, but none of the shadow beings. We do see that there's at least one god alive. There's probably more than that alive that are kind of crawling around here. You hear kind of this rumble in the sky, and we get a little bit of exposition. On the world of Gorr, thunder is heard, and then it began to rain. It rained blood. God blood. And we see drips of red kind of popping down on the earth. And then we see three explosions striking the ground, or the thum, in succession. Thum, thum, thum. And then it rained hammers. And Thors. And despair. And we see the motionless bodies of the three Thors laying on the ground and towering over them, though looking weaker than he has in the past, is none other than Gorr himself. And he shouts out, "Make ready the bomb!" And that is Thor, God of Thunder, number 9. Not much to say about this issue, really. It's just a straight-on continuation of the prior issue. This is the structure of your average story, that you make a little progress, then they get set back, then they make more progress, then they get set back again, and then just as all looks completely hopeless, they come forward and win. I mean, that is your kind of standard Marvel story structure, and this is what I see being played out right here. As far as the story of the plot itself, there's not a whole lot going on here. Nothing that we haven't seen before a million times in other comics. What really kind of brings this up from the level of your standard everyday Marvel comic is the artwork here by Esad Ribic. It's absolutely gorgeous. All of this artwork in here is really, really good. I don't even think there's really anything bad in here. Now, one of the problems that I have with Ribic as a storyteller, though, is it's not always clear what's going on in the story. You're kind of relying for the writer to tell you sometimes. And what's not happening in this issue occasionally is Jason Aaron's not telling you what's going on. You're expected to be able to tell from the artwork itself. It's a relatively minor quibble. I still like this issue. I still think that it carries the story along to its next logical stopping point. But at the same time, it's vaguely unsatisfying. And I'm hoping that, you know, we have two more issues here of God Bomb. And I have not read them at this point. I don't usually pick up the next issue till after I finish the show for the prior. It makes me think that this may be kind of an anticlimactic story when all is said and done. I'm hoping that we have a satisfying ending. But, you know, next issue is obviously going to be things looking their darkest. And then issue 11 is going to be where everything comes together and the three Thors rise up and smash Gore completely. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for anyway. So that's it for this episode. Thanks very much for listening, folks. Like I said, it is possible that over the next couple weeks there may be delays in the shows. I do apologize if that's the case, but I will do my best to get a show out each and every week for y'all because that's how I am. I really don't want you guys to go for too long without a show. Anyway, thanks very much for listening. If you want to email the show, you certainly can do. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com, and you can also find us on Facebook, the Radio Free Asgard group over there. We're now up to over 30 members over there, and that's, as Facebook groups go, that's not too bad, actually. There is some discussion going on there, so feel free to join us and the discussion. All right, so with that, this is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois, saying thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard.